There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. The phone number, as it ever was, 343-0106, 343-0106 for a phone call or a text. And a reminder, too, you can always leave us a talkback message with that microphone icon right there on the front page of the FM Talk 106.5 app. Which, by the way, Dirt Digger on the text line said, Sean, I went to my uncle's house in Kentucky for the 4th of July, and we listened to the station app while I was there. He wished they had a good radio station like this great station. I told him to listen. This is the best of the Mobile area. Listen to the app. Thank you, Dirt Digger. And the app is neat. Like, I've told you all this before. Not like I'm tracking you or anything on the app, but it does show us, like, different states where our app gets used. And I'd like to think it's just a ton of folks in Texas or California that are fans of the station, but so many of it is y'all that listen here. And when you travel, you're for work or whatever, keeping up with the news back home. I appreciate that. So thank you, Dirt Digger. And y'all, if you've not gotten it, it's free 99. It's a no cost. The app, it's available on the App Store for iOS users, Google Play for Android users. Just look for FMTALK1065. Don't put a point between the 6 and 5. It goofs it up. I don't know why. It just does. Just FM Talk 1065. You'll see our logo. That's the app. It's free. Download it and enjoy it. So much stuff going on there. All right. Good to see a friend and a voice. It's always, you know, I think about this as the leadoff and the intro to Midday Mobile. Mobile City Councilwoman Gina Gregory, District 7, joining us, who has been so charitable over these years with lending the voice.
Apparently, I haven't been charitable enough, Sean, to get you to change that. Well, I know when I see you, every time I see you, I say, well, let's change that. Let's put something else in there. But I think you do that on purpose because you love it.
Well, I do love it. And I've told people before about the show. I'm getting... I have so many clips for new intros, and I have a whole file over here on this computer right here.
Sure,
a new, then I go, but the intro would be 6 minutes long if I do everything. So then I get, what is it, a paralysis by analysis, and then I stop and we stay with the old one. Good to see you.
Well, good to see you too. It has been a while.
Yes.
I think maybe it's been since 4 years. No, it's surely been since 4 years ago, but I know the election season comes mm-hmm. around pretty regularly, and you always invite us in, so I appreciate that.
No, I'd like to have you in. And in the meantime, too, we talk about things in District mm-hmm. 7. Right. Let's talk about that, too. Post-annexation and redistricting, give us the big demarcations for District 7. Like from here to there to there to there.
Yeah, I would like to say that it is really, really clear, but in some instances it's about as clear as mud. So here we go. My district has changed, but for the most part it's still the same. The main changes are new areas that have come into District 7. After the annexation was successful, I picked up Kings Branch and Remington Estates, which are off Moffitt, mm-hmm. close to Magnolia Grove, and they're right on the Sims city line. I also picked up an area called Orchard Estates, which is off North Cody Road. The entire area there is Orchard Estates, but the section that is more west has actually been in the county all this time, and so in the annexation they voted to come in. So those are two brand new areas that have come into the city thanks to annexation. So, you know, of course we had to redraw the lines and try to get all the numbers in each district somewhat the same. You can't ever be exactly the same.
But. Right, because it starts off, I think it was District 6 was this behemoth right after the annexation, yeah. Right? And I gave Councilman Woods trouble about that, but then that gets worked out, right?
Well, he got the most expansive district after the annexation, which was why we went ahead and did the redistricting then, so that each council member could really start working with the new areas. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not quite official until the election, you know, when everybody votes and the first time, a lot of people voting for the first time, especially in these districts as they have changed. But yeah, Josh definitely has been very, very busy with his new area. So two of the areas that are coming into District 7 because of the annexation and redistricting were in District 6.
Mm-hmm. He had to give up something. He can't just have everything.
He had.
Here we go.
Well, he gave up some to not only 7, but also to 4. Mm-hmm. So a couple of those areas there, Willowbrook and Huntley Woods, were in District 7 when I ran back in 2005. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
so
you know, changed. I like to tell people that this is a homecoming.
Yeah,
know,
coming back for it.
Yeah. So it just works out.
But people get confused. I mean, like those of us that do this all the time think about this all the time, but regular human beings probably don't think till they go, oh, it's municipal election time in August. I need to figure out where I'm voting.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't realize that there's a change until they get that postcard in the mail, and mm-hmm. it's a different voting precinct. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, wait a minute, I always vote, you know, such and such a place. Why am I voting here now? And a lot of it has to do with the redistricting and the annexation, and the precincts have grown and numbers have grown. And so sometimes the population is too much for whatever precinct, you know, used to be used for that area, so they have to move it, or just simply because your precinct or your district has changed, so you vote somewhere differently. It is confusing. That's why they send the postcards out, and the information is online, and if everything else fails, call your council person. They will get
that's
you
right.
the information. There's been some confusion also in the Spring Hill area that I have represented for a long time. Of course, I shared a lot of that with District 5, but what happened was in the redistricting, annexation, all of the different things that happened, I retained the north side of Spring Hill Avenue,
okay.
which is behind St. Ignatius and all mm-hmm. of those areas. The south side of Spring Hill Avenue has gone into District 5, except for the areas of like Loretta Park and Country Club Village.
So, which is still 7.
Which is still 7. And one little road in Ridgelawn, where there's a cul-de-sac, is still in 7. So now you see why it's so confusing.
So, y'all, I mean, yeah, get your postcard, but study up, because I know that on election day, too, I've had people say, hey, I went to my normal place, and they told me I wasn't supposed to be voting here, and I had to go across, you know, the road over here or something like that.
I talked to the city clerk about that, and she would like to be able to just have people come to the precinct, and they say, oh, my goodness, I'm sorry, I thought this was where I was supposed to vote, mm-hmm. and actually you vote somewhere else. She would like us to be able to, I guess in the future, say, okay, fine, you are a registered voter and whatever the district is, go ahead and vote here and we will get it to the correct precinct so that people aren't driving all across town.
Is that going to happen in this?
We've talked about it, but I don't think it's going to be in place for this election, but in future elections, we need to try to make something like that happen.
Like it would go into it, like say you're in 5, but you show up, you're supposed to be voting in 7, your vote somehow gets over here and then sent over to
7. Yeah, somehow to do
to
that
7.
Because what happens, I'm sure for a lot of people, if they go to where they think they're supposed to vote and they say, no, you actually are in a different precinct, they just go home.
Yeah.
They don't bother to vote because it's just too much
trouble. Y'all don't
trouble
do that. Y'all don't do that.
And they get frustrated. You know.
Sure.
And the other thing that happens is municipal elections, the precincts are different, the districts are different. So wherever you vote for your state officials or for the president or Congress, whoever, those precincts are different too in a lot of cases. I think
that's what got a lot of people in this.
Well, you know, I vote somewhere different in the city elections than when I vote for in the presidential or congressional election. So it just... Yeah. And now everything is kind of going on at the same time as well with all these different people running for office.
So it's still July. Y'all get that confirmed. Make the calls. Get that confirmed before you go any further.
We can get you the information.
I want to talk about District 7, and we're going to talk about the city as a whole. But, you know, as you, first of all, I mean, you send out the newsletters. We get the information on what's happening. But mm-hmm. if you got to boil it down here, biggest issues for District 7 are?
You know, the biggest issues are always traffic, garbage, trash, mm-hmm. infrastructure, on a daily basis. The bigger overriding concern for everybody in the city, of course, is public safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what to do. We're fortunate in District 7 that we don't have some of the issues that others do, but we certainly have our share. So I think on a daily basis, like I said, what gets you every day, when you leave your house and what you see every day, that's going to be the traffic. Complaining about traffic, people are speeding through my neighborhood, we need speed bumps, we need traffic enforcement, something like that. I deal with that weekly.
Yeah, sure.
Trash and garbage, always big issues. If your garbage isn't picked up, it's an issue.
Correct.
If your trash isn't picked up, it's blowing all over the street, that's an issue. So we deal with those things weekly. And then, you know, the bigger things, when is my road going to be resurfaced? There's a pothole out here. There's a dog running loose. What about street lights? What about street signs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are things that, you know, I think when people run for office, they think it's really, really glamorous, all these really big decisions that you're making. But this is what we do on a daily basis. We are working with our residents, our constituents, to help them with the issues that they see every day, to help them get resolved, and to really be their liaison and their advocate. That's what I spend most of my time doing. It's not so much of the really big umbrella issues, because we support funding for public safety. We support all the partnerships that we're looking at, expanding programs at work. We're all in on all that.
Mm-hmm.
The legacy projects, the civic center, the airport, all these things, the bridge. Of course, we're all involved in that, but on a daily basis.
Yeah, what rings your phone? It's those things you
listed. It's not the civic center.
Right. And it's important. I think about this from at a city council level to county commission level. I've often said that makes the best track, I think, for going to Washington in the House. Now, obviously, a little different there, but the responsiveness, because if you're at a commission level or a council level, you're a problem solver or an answer person. You have to, I mean, if I got a problem, you're who I call.
Yeah, we have a process in the city that you can call the 311 number and report it, and that's really catching on. Most people do that. What happens is, though, they call 311, and they don't see the response that they were expecting, or just maybe nothing happens at all. So then they call us, and we get involved, and we start going through again, okay, well, what happened? Why was this the response? Why wasn't it resolved? You know, give me a status to see where it is. And we've got this chain of command that we go through. It kind of depends. Sometimes if this person has called me and they are just so frustrated and so angry because they've called 311 and they've done this and they've seen the status and it was not satisfactory, I just take it immediately to the chief of staff and say, we got to get something done.
Yep.
And thankfully, our chief of staff is the fellow who says, all right, let's get it done. Let's say yes. Let's make it happen. You know, they're trying to get it to where everything is not escalated that far. But
sure.
Sometimes it happens. I had an issue going on over in your old neck of the woods with some new construction. A woman who lives on the backside of where some houses are being built was looking at runoff, and she'd been sending, she first tried to go online and report it, and that was difficult. So she just reached out to me. She sent me pictures and issues over and over, and I sent it up the chain. Still nothing was happening.
Uh-oh.
So I went and looked at it over the weekend. I said, yeah, okay, I see what's going on here. And I sent it, and I said, this has to go to the chief of staff. We got to get this resolved. This is crazy.
And?
So this morning, I got a response. Yeah, we do see where the problem is. We have people going over there now. We'll be talking to the owner.
That's how it works. Sometimes.
So that's how it works sometimes. You know, we are the advocates. Every issue doesn't have to be escalated like that.
Sure, you hope it's not. But
you hope it's not. It's designed so that if your garbage wasn't picked up, we can report it and they'll come back and get it.
But you're the fail-safe. If those things don't work, our counselor for our district, that's
right. That's exactly it. And that's really where I see myself, as that advocate for my constituents, the liaison to City Hall, really, to get things done. And they know to call me. They call me for things that happen to them that they need help with, or if they need something that's not even city-related, they will call the city council people because that's who they know.
Mm-hmm.
And they need help in some other way, and we try to give them the information, give them phone numbers, give them other agencies so that we can help them get what they need. So that's a lot of what we do, you know, every day. And I think it's really the relationships that I've been able to build over these 20 years, you know, I've been there a long time, and people know me and they trust me. So I try to do the best I can to get things resolved for them.
A couple minutes left here with City Councilwoman Jeannie Gregory. Let's talk about those things that don't ring your phone as much, but end up making jaws wag in talk radio and other places out there. The big picture,
the big idea. Stuff.
Yeah, like yeah. the arena build. And it's just, you know, I look at this. I'm excited. I'm a homer. I love seeing good things. At the same time, I worry about where we were fiscally many years ago, and are we going to go back into that same situation where we can't afford ourselves?
I think that's a valid concern that we all have, looking ahead, looking what's the economy going to do, how are all these things that are in the world today going to impact our budget here in the city of Mobile. I mean, for the last couple, 3 years, we've already seen prices increasing. That's why this arena is so expensive, why we couldn't do anything like a theater and other bills that we knew were important. So it's a valid concern that we have to look at every day and say, okay, are we going to be able to afford something else that we had been looking at doing? Or maybe we can afford doing something a little bit less and still improve the issue. And the animal shelter is a good example of that. We really wanted something better, more state-of-the-art. So we're having to do what we can now and then down the road try to make the improvements and make it better. But, you know, everything that we do is like that. Every big project, you know, how much more money is it going to take? And where is that money going to come from? And is it only going to be the city of Mobile? Is it the county, the state, the feds? Who's going to get involved and try to make these things happen for us?
Well, that's the thing, getting partners in to defray the cost somewhat. I mean, it's like, you know, I saw when y'all voted through to have the $3 million for the Amtrak. I was happy that it had a sunset, that it was, you know, this. But then on the reverse, how about the state? You know, now coming in, different partners coming in to alleviate that some.
Yes. Let's hope that our newly elected state officials from the governor on down will be strong voices for us here in South Alabama for a change.
Yes.
And I probably shouldn't have said that, but we need strong leadership at the state level to work with us here in South Alabama to get the funding that we deserve and should be getting to do these projects. All the money does not need to be going to North Alabama. Just should not, especially when we have so much of the lion's share of funding that goes to the state.
Yeah, 100%. Like I've said it before, if I have a business and this division of the business makes all the money for the business, then what I do is I reinvest capital in the area that makes me more money.
Yes.
Set it elsewhere. This from... let's see. This is from John. Said, a connector halfway between Cottage Hill Road and Airport Boulevard. This would connect Azalea to University. If that's a plan, anything discussed there?
I have not heard that. It may be something that's on one of these future land use maps for Mobile sort of a thing. Right now, a lot of those are still future land use hopes and wishes that maybe one day,
This texture said, there it goes. Does Ms. Gregory have a plan to expedite the building permit process?
If Ms. Gregory had her way, yes, indeed. You also have to understand that we're working with an administration who runs these departments and who the people in these departments works for. If I did have it my way, we would get the business people, whether it be home builders, realtors, retailers, together in a room with those in the administration. What's your problem? What are the problems that you were having with the city? Now, how do we best resolve it to get those permits in?
Gosh, that sounds entirely logical.
Well, you know, the things that make most sense generally are not happening. And, you know, any mayoral candidate out there who says they're going to solve it, good luck. I hope they do. But I think what they've got to do is bring everybody in to try to find the best way to do it and still be within the law, because it is taxpayer money. So everything is not quite as easy as it is in private land,
right,
as it is because it is government and it is taxpayer money. So there are more steps and more legal loopholes. But it doesn't mean that things should take years or that one hand of government at City Hall doesn't know what the other hand of government is doing, and they don't talk to one another.
What's going on? I mean, I've heard this over the history of me being on FM Talk, that people have these issues. It's like, If you could be in the same thing and say, okay, I asked for the building permit, and then this happened, and this happened. Where's the breakdown in it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Where was the breakdown between departments? Because in some things we've talked about, you need somebody at City Hall who was walking your project, whether it's a permit or a building site or something, all the way through every project, every person, to make sure that everything gets done and that you don't have those breakdowns in communications. That's just... We've had those problems for years, ever since I've been on the city council. And I know when Mayor Stimson came in, things did get better. That was one of the things he ran on. But still and yet, we seem to continue having, you know, these same sort of problems.
People want to get more information. You're a known quantity, but maybe new people in the district or whatever. Where do they go to check out more about your campaign?
Well, I've got website, Instagram, Facebook page, all those things. Just put in Gina Gregory. You know, you'll find it. VoteGinaGregory.com is the best way. Info. Let's see. I can't even remember all of them. There's three of them, but just basically put my name in. You'll find it. It's there. And then, of course, you know, I put out newsletters about my district.
Yes, you do.
And I have a district meeting tomorrow night that we are holding.
Where's that?
It will be at the Museum of Art, 6 o'clock. It is actually a back-to-school district meeting, so people are bringing back-to-school supplies as well for this, and we'll have the three public school principals there, elementary school principals there, to collect their goodies.
Very good. Okay. Appreciate that, and great to see you.
Hey, great to see you, too.
City Council District 7, Councilwoman Gina Gregory, our guest. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 128, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. How are we looking on a Monday at the lot?
Good. We're looking good. We got a truck we just got in. A 2020 F-150. It's got 104 on the miles. It's an EcoBoost, four-wheel drive Lariat. Average retail, listen to this now, average retail on this thing with J.D. Power NADA is $35,425. I'll sell it for $28,000.
Got my attention. And what about if I brought my F-150 in for a trade-in? Looking for that too?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we trade. It's no problem. I mean, that's it's just one of those cars that we got on a good buy. It's a one-owner, clean Carfax vehicle. And it's just... It's the deal. It's just trying to get some attention.
Well, tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. We've already got pictures of that truck up there. It's a white four-wheel drive, gray leather, very, very nice truck.
Hey, thanks, David.
All right, buddy.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, to 136, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Get the week started off talking precious metals. Gold prices dominate that conversation for sure. How about silver? Anna, what you got?
Well, silver and gold are both up, so it's a great time to get extra cash for the summer, being, you know, selling scrap jewelry that you might not wear anymore, or broken pieces, mismatched lost earrings and things, or even something that people don't often think about is a sterling silver flatware. So that's knives, forks, and things like that that grandma, great-grandma might have, you know, stored. If you're never using them, you could turn around and turn that into cash. And also right now we're looking for 90% silver coinage.
What's 90? Like, how do we know if we have 90% silver coinage?
Well, it's the dimes, quarters, and half dollars that are 1964 and earlier. So in 1964 and previous years, those are all 90% on dimes, quarters, and half dollars.
Okay, that's good, because people were texting me last week and said, hey, if I've got coins, I want to see what their value is. Y'all, I mean, they can come in, y'all can do an appraisal on them right there at the shop, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We do free appraisals all the time. That's what we do here pretty much the whole time from 9 till 5.
Okay, tell them how to find you.
We are at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can also find us on Facebook, our website, mobilebaycoins.com, or you can call us. Phone number is 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Anna. Mm-hmm. All right, Anna checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Yeah, the gold thing, I mean, it's been significant. You start looking at the silver really had a, you know, like I said, I was somebody who got silver because I didn't have money for gold back in the day, but they've appreciated nicely as well. Now, this Bitcoin thing, let me see. I told myself I'm not going to look at this during the show, but then I lied. So let's see. It was a good wake up here to Bitcoin today. Let's see. Where are we? Are we down a little bit? Are we down a little bit? Yeah. Still, was it 117 at one point over the weekend? Yeah, it was doing good. All right. Just checking that. Let's back to the radio show. I'll check this later. To the text line here. By the way, a lot of text here about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo coming up and the forecast. So Dr. Bill was talking about rain and something, a low, you know, would it be tropical or not? We'll keep in touch, obviously, with the JCs and the rodeo. I told several of y'all on the text line that I don't think it's going to have to be really significant for them to cancel. So the rodeo's gone, you know, on some pretty crappy weather weekends in the past. So I don't see anything for cancellation on that, but we'll watch it. People asking, what about the Liars contest? I think, you know, I've worked the, here's the thing, on the rain part of it for the Liars contest, even when there's not something like in, you know, in the Gulf or something, it's this time of year, there's always thunderstorms. So I've worked Liars contest when the rain, you know, quit right before we started the Liars contest. It came right after it. So I think the Liars contest, all that'll go on Thursday just fine at the rodeo site. If we hear anything different, of course, I'll let you know when we talk to the JCs. But the way I see it right now, everything's still straight ahead for this. Yeah. And Don's asking Dr. Bill to give us a rodeo forecast. I'll tell you what, I'll lean on Dr. Bill, see if he could. But we do that, Don, we do that in the Marine forecast every weekend. So sometimes Doc will talk about it with Dan and Dalton, but it's always in on our outdoor show. We have updated Marine forecast that runs through the weekend as well. All right, let's see. Jim in Georgetown says, now that I'm retired at 56, by the way. Are you really, Jim? Good for you. I'm just 3 years behind you. And I don't think I'm going to see that anytime soon, but good for you. Said, I don't get away near the amount of windshield time as I used to, hence radio time suffered as well. I downloaded the 106.5 app the day you launched it, but didn't have to use it that much, but it certainly gets used on a regular basis nowadays. Yeah, you know, that's, Jim, really how I use it too. I still have radio, I still have weather radio and all that because I'm a nerd, but when I wake up in the morning, you know, you got the, and there's alarm setting also on the app. I wake up and listen to what Dan and Dalton are talking about as I'm, you know, getting loaded up and heading here to the office. So, yeah, I use the app. Unless I'm in my truck, I use the app and route it through my speakers in the house. So I use the app more than I do a radio in my house. Now in my truck, it's terrestrial for sure. Let's see. I think I got all the questions answered for Gina or asked for Gina Gregory. Jerry says, if the coach, meaning Tupperville, I guess, puts a dime into the train station, I hope he's one and done. There's actually money from the state's already been, I think, allocated. At first, they didn't remember that. And now they've turned around. I think they're doing something on that. This is a named texture, I think. Oh, it's CA. Thank you, CA. Hey, Sean, Bloody 98 is an evacuation route. Mississippi built bridges 40 years ago. Highway 29 out of Pensacola is a good route north until it reaches Alabama. You know, they've done better with the counterflow, you know, that we were talking about with Sheriff Lowry last hour. They've definitely done better. I just wonder, I mean, you see the crush of people on a given, you know, I told you, my boy and I were coming back from our vacation early in June, and he decided it was time for a little stop and water the porcelain thing. We're coming back. We stopped at Bucky's. Now, we were heading westbound, right? We're trying to get back home coming from Florida, but we got off at the Bucky's exit. I know those of you that stay around there all the time see it, but for me, it was like, holy cow, I'd never seen, it was a Sunday, I had never seen the traffic like that. And that was us just trying to get off to go into the Bucky's, and then they were rerouting traffic and handling all that stuff. You, if you have something like that, and then local folks have to evacuate as well, it's going to be, I hope they've done all the modeling. And yes, EMA and Baldwin County, they are robust, good bunch of folks. So maybe they've planned this out, but I do worry about that. Right. this from John. We need a lobbyist to badger the legislature into spending their fair share on us. Isn't that crazy? You're right, but isn't that crazy we would have to have a lobbyist to represent voters? I mean, that's what you have when you elect somebody. That's your lobbyist, right? And said, Alabama is not a free state. Don't let anybody fool you. But how many times have I commented on our conservatism in the state is real robust on the social side, but when you get to fiscal or small size government matters, it's not the same. Yeah, good. And you get more from Dr. Bill tomorrow morning with his idea of where the low, whatever we're going to call that thing, is going to go. But right now, rodeo. Rodeo's rodeoing. So, and I plan to see y'all as a judge at the Liars Contest on Thursday. All right, coming back, it's time for a checkup right here on Midday Mobile.
KRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. Colorado State University recently updated its outlook for hurricane season. It originally predicted an above-average hurricane season with 17 named storms and 9 hurricanes. They're now scaling back their prediction, calling for a slightly above-average season with 16 storms, 8 of those as hurricanes. A new school year is right around the corner, and it's time to shop for school supplies. Beginning Friday, you'll be able to get things like calculators, binders, and uniforms without paying Alabama's 4% sales tax. The tax-free holiday weekend in the state runs Friday through Sunday. Florida's tax-free weekend will start August 1st. This week, anglers will head back into the Gulf for the 92nd annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. This week's festivities begin Thursday night with the annual Liars Contest. Anglers will go out into the Gulf Friday morning looking to reel in that perfect winning catch. The tournament runs from Friday through Sunday. Devin Walsh, WKRG News 5. Local coverage you can count on.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile, and it's time for a checkup. And good to see Dr. Evan Chavers and Dr. Shyla Hossein from Alta Point Health in to talk about new treatments, early diagnosis, and ending the stigma surrounding schizophrenia. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Now, there's that term, people have heard it. Maybe don't know what it means. Okay, well, it's schizophrenia. Somebody is a schizophrenic. What does that mean? What's the actual, like, how does it manifest?
So schizophrenia is a thought disorder. It is a chronic or lifelong mental illness. And by thought disorder, I mean a syndrome associated with delusions or false beliefs. Sometimes we have perceptual disturbances. That'll be when we might hear or see something that's not there. And then a lot of times there's bizarre behavior. And this is hard to name or categorize, but when you see it, you're just, hey, something's a little off there. But that is just part of it. That is describing a syndrome that we call psychosis. And those with schizophrenia can have psychosis, but are not always psychotic.
Okay. I mean, so this is getting a little more complicated. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a little more to it. So if you have just one brief episode of that disordered thought, that does not necessarily mean that you have schizophrenia. However, if that maintains for greater than 6 months and is not associated with drug abuse or things like that, that may in fact be the syndrome of schizophrenia.
So, I mean, is it something that's determined by behaviors, like X number of behaviors over a certain period of time, then that equals schizophrenia? Is that how you decide that?
The time component is really important for it. So you can have, you know, like Dr. Chavers mentioned, like just a short period of time. And a lot of, honestly, what we'll see a lot of the time is that might be something that's drug induced. You know, maybe they used a substance that made them appear disorganized and uncoordinated. But if it's outside of that and then it persists and it's causing a lot of functional deficits, they can't work, they can't live by themselves, and you know, maybe they're withdrawing from society a little bit more, then we're a little bit more worried that there's actually an organic disease going on right here.
And yeah. Dr. Hossein, maybe to follow up on that, are there different, I'm so ignorant, are there different levels of schizophrenia? I mean, it's like, could somebody be more or less, or you are or you aren't? I mean.
So I would say that schizophrenia can occur on a spectrum.
Okay.
But once you have that diagnosis, we kind of see the spectrum more when somebody's in treatment, if they're, you know, maybe off of medication or just, or under some influences, some people still continue to use medication. So that makes it more difficult to indicate whether it's like the true psychosis there or not.
And you mentioned medications too. So let's talk about the evolution in the medications used for this, because this has been going on for a while. What's new out there?
Yeah, I think in understanding what's new, we first need to go back to what we had in the past and what we didn't have. And so when you think about antipsychotic medications, that's medications to treat that syndrome of psychosis. Historically, they're associated with a lot of side effects. And the big ones that come to mind are movement disorders. Mm-hmm. So in the past, when we take medications like haloperidol, we may have heard Haldol said before, those medications can cause tremor or sort of a swimming-like movement with long-term use. And that could be really embarrassing and disruptive for patients. And for many years, there was not much that we could do about it. Just tell them to grin and bear it and stick with treatment. But I'm pleased to say here more recently, we have been using what we call second-generation antipsychotics that have less of those side effects. And further still, we have better medications to address those side effects. So without getting too much in the weeds, there are some medications that if you have those problems with movement disorders,
then you can deal with that.
We can use those to address that.
Thinking about this, and I mean, that's why I'm glad y'all defined this, because the term has been, I mean, I've heard schizophrenia, schizophrenics my whole life, and not really knowing what all it encompassed. But how does somebody out there, whether it be themselves or loved ones, I know that I've read that early diagnosis is important. How do you diagnose it if you're not a professional like y'all are? How do you, and then how do you start treating early? Kind of give me that discussion.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a blood test or a genetic test that I can take a sample.
Is there any heredity to it that you know of?
There is. There's a significant hereditary component. It is not the most strongly linked genetic thought disorder, but there
but
is.
But it is one of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I would certainly counsel patients with schizophrenia that if they want to have children, that we would need to talk about expectations that they might transmit the disease. But in meeting someone new, I can't draw some blood and run it through a machine and say yes or no schizophrenia. We are working down a checklist of symptoms, and we need to see those symptoms present for a certain amount of time. That is the best that we have to work with. And so working with the patient longitudinally, kind of developing, is this evolving? Is this getting better? And how does it respond to medication?
So in all honesty, if somebody were concerned that maybe a family member had schizophrenia, based on family history, or just they've noticed that, you know, their adolescent or, you know, young 20-something-year-old is acting a little differently than normal, it's important to just stay in touch with regular primary care as well, or just see if they can be evaluated for, you know, because of the family history of schizophrenia, and just try and develop that relationship that Dr. Javert was talking about so that somebody can be keeping an eye on any of those behaviors and maybe intervene early.
Well, okay, so how early, I mean, how early do these things you all delineated manifest, like it, is it toddler, is it adolescent? Like
usually late adolescence, early 20s is when we typically see it, which also goes along some of the lines of, you know, a big life transition. Somebody's getting into adulthood, trying to become more functional and live on their own, and if they're having some difficulties with that, if they're having more difficulties with that, then it is probably something that needs to be looked into. Like what's
so late adolescent though? Is adolescence is when this is okay? Let's talk about treatments for this as well. Long acting injectable medications. So give me, why is that better than previous, or the whys on that?
Right. So as we mentioned earlier, it is a lifelong chronic illness, and so it can be really, honestly, annoying for patients to have to take a medicine every single day for the rest of their life, especially if they start a medicine in their 20s and they have to continue it all the way up until, you know, forever. I mean, we see that with high blood pressure and things like that. You know, you still have to be on a chronic medication. The long-acting injectables provide an option of only taking a medication once a month, sometimes every 2 months, sometimes every 6 months, depending on which medication option you choose, and what works well for the patient. Some of it is subjective as
That's
well.
What I was wondering. Is it like out of the tools you all have, if you've got the three of us and we have, you know, we have schizophrenia,
what might work on Dr. Chavers works better for him than you, than me? Is it like that, or is it just pretty much if you have this, this medicine works?
Yeah, definitely different people respond to different medications differently.
You're saying the blood pressure thing, like you take one blood pressure pill, it works for me, and you get another one for the other
person. Yeah. We don't yet have a scientific understanding of why that is, but we certainly see that, hey, this one patient responds perfectly to this medicine, low dose keeps all symptoms under control. Another one could be at max dose of that medicine and it not control the symptoms. And I want to stress this because a lot of patients will say, I feel like you're experimenting on me to get the medicines right. I'm not experimenting. I'm developing a bespoke regimen for tuned into your needs. So we want to make sure we get it right for you.
Did you just make it cool to have the TV? Did you just go bespoke? I'm going to talk to them when they give me my blood pressure medicine. I'm saying, listen, I want a curated blood pressure medicine for me out there. What's it? Think about schizophrenia in general too. Common misconception out there. Are there misconceptions? Are schizophrenia dangerous to other people, to themselves? Kind of address that.
Sure. So there is a stigma out there that they are more violent than others. I will say the studies have shown that the rate of violent acts caused by people with schizophrenia matches the general population, which is about 5%. Yeah, it's the same. If a patient does experience a violent episode, it's usually one in the context usually in the context of drugs or medication noncompliance.
Not taking their meds.
Okay. Yeah. And if you control for those, then it goes back to the general population rate. So the stigma that they're more violent than others is really just not true at that point.
With treatment, though.
With treatment. Well, right. Correct, but with treatment and not using other mind-altering substances, right? But in general, the rate is still matches the general population. We do see several people in the hospital who have also had a history of legal episodes, maybe been in jail in the past, but by and large, people are more likely to hurt schizophrenic people because they're scared of them, or they're acting, or they're not organized enough to be able to behave appropriately in a situation. They get themselves in trouble that way. But under treatment, the rates are they're not more violent than others.
Dr. Hossein, Dr. Chavers, thank you for the frank discussion about this and y'all's work you're doing with AltaPoint. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.